Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the conference 2018 from Grupo Nutresa. At Nutresa, Jose Domingo Penagos, Vice President of Corporate Finance, Santiago Escobar, Director of Corporate Finance, and myself, Catherine Chacon, Director of Investor Relations. After the presentation by the CEO and Vice President of Corporate Finance, about the results of the first quarter of the year, we'll start the Q&A question, the sessions. Any questions we receive through the webcast will be read verbatim. Anyone who has connected to the conference via telephone in English, thank you for sending your questions through the chat option. Thank those who ask questions through the webcast and through the audio to tell your name and the institution you represent. I'll leave you then with Carlos Ignacio Gallego, the President of Grupo Nutresa. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our presentation of results. Thank you for being with us. To start with, I'd like you to join us in slide number two. On the last conference, we want to share the advances of Grupo Nutresa in corporate sustainability, and now we'll refer specifically to what we've been doing in the environmental dimension. Let us tell you that at the end of last year, we have inaugurated the largest solar roof of any food company in Colombia in our plant located in the municipality of Rio Negro, Colombia, in the chocolate business. This facility will allow us to produce clean energy for 15% of the energy consumed by this plant. That's important. It's interesting. This will be displayed later in other facilities in the regions where Grupo Nutresa operates. Secondly, in the lower hand side of the same slide, we'll show you the important achievements in the indicator of water consumption per ton produced for the 2010 and 2020, we wanted to decrease 30%, and by the end of the last year, we've achieved 28.1% reduction. This is part of an effort to improve our water resource management in our chain, value chain. In our company, 2% of that as footprint is direct, and 98% is indirect footprint. This is distributed throughout the value chain of the businesses. This reduction has a lot to do with the efficient use and saving of water. And specifically, we are working on this because managing, protection, and the proper use of water is an extremely important topic for mankind and will be even more so in the future. And to complete this slide, on the right-hand side, on the upper part, we achieved the goal we had for reducing greenhouse gas effects. We wanted to reduce 33% these emissions per ton produced, and by the end of 2017, we had 41.4% reduction. This important achievement is the result of the redesign of internal processes and also for actions we carried out to purchase a clean energy in our business. This is complemented in the commercial and the operation sides. We're deploying with brands with a sense, with a purpose. We already have four carbon-neutral brands, two in Chile, Livian and Zuko, and two in Colombia, which is Tosh and Evoque. And with a 100% carbon-neutral, which is the chocolate plant located in Costa Rica. This effort in the environmental dimension is completely aligned with the higher purpose of the group, which is to build a better world where development is for everyone, and we're very happy to be able to share these advances with you. After this slide, let's go to please to slide number three, where we'd like to share the information about the sales in and out of Colombia. To start with, in Colombia, in the first quarter, we had sales for $1,246,000,000, with the growth 2.4%. And I say very good for the country's conditions, where we've been recovering little by little our consumption. That 2.4% comes from a very good combination of growth in volume, 1.3%, plus a moderate increase in prices of 0.5%. We have to remember here that during this first quarter in Colombia, we had Easter, Holy Week, and the previous year it had been in April. That comparison makes the number of working days changes. We had 73 working days, and last year we had 75. If you were to look in Colombia, sales per working day, business day, they were up 5.2%. And if we divide it by business, which I will not explain here, all the businesses grew in sales per working day. In general, the growth in Colombia was driven mainly by ice cream, with a very good quarter, especially achieved towards the end of the quarter, and a good performance of the consumer foods. And those two businesses had growth close to 10%. Cold cuts, a decrease of 0.7, but with broke the trend that compared to what we had before. Confectionery, coffee, cookies, we had very good growth. Chocolates and pasta grows very little. It is explained by the number of working days in the quarter. So we feel that there is a recovery in consumption, which has been taking place since the end of last year, and we're noticing that a little bit more. And outside of Colombia, we had a very good behavior in sales, with a growth in dollar of 6.6%, up to $265 million. Like in Colombia, we had a slight devaluation. This becomes a growth of 4.3% in Colombian pesos, or 758,000 million pesos. You can see in the graph in the lower part that 3M look in biscuits, chocolates, and cold cuts have higher growth due to the good dynamics of their markets and from exports from Colombia that have increased. The exception is the coffee business. We have a lower demand from some customers, very much focused in the U.S. market. Exports from Colombia, as I said, have a very good business behavior, except for coffee, which I already mentioned it. In Chile, we're growing in Chilean pesos. In Mexico, we also have very good growth. The behavior we had, also the behavior in Peru was very significant. When you combine those sales in and out of Colombia, we can see in slide number 4 that total sales were 2,104,000,000,000, with a growth of 3.1%, very good dynamics in most businesses, and a rate of growth higher than the previous years. As you can see, all businesses except coffee have grown, and the case of coffee is very much explained in the international area. So we had a very good quarter, and we feel that this dynamics is more positive than in previous quarters. It's very important to point out that 21.3% of sales were sales of innovation. Remember that we've been, in the previous report, we had close to 20%. In this case, innovation is still an important growth factor, and we're working to make this innovation not only in terms of products, but also in processes and in business models that we use to operate. If you look at slide number 5, you can see what sales are like by region. As we were saying, the international sales grew at a higher rate than in Colombia, and that is why those international sales went from representing 35.6% during the first quarter 2017 to 36% during this quarter. The first geography is still Colombia, where we have 64% of sales. The second one is Central America, where we have 9.6%, and we have very good dynamics. The third geography is Chile with 8.9%, and the fourth is the U.S. with 7.3%. We've always insisted that this geographic diversification is the result of a consistent strategy of internationalization of our company, with which we've been moving forward. With respect to the market share in Colombia, in TM Look, we see that during this period, we had a market share in Colombia, 59.5%. This is minus 0.9% compared to the same period last year. In general, our leadership positions in these categories allows us to keep a balance between balance and profitability. I will not go into item by item, for there's a mixed behavior. There are some things where we gain participation. In others, we have slight decreases. But what we do here is try to maintain that proper balance, knowing that the sacrifices we make will be for the short term. And as we achieve that recovery of consumption in the country, we can attack those fronts and get back some share. This is in general what we've seen compared to the previous quarter, not a year ago. There is a very similar in numbers, and we feel satisfied with that balance, and are challenged to recover wherever share we have lost. But we don't see anything serious there. If we now go to slide number 7, you can see that on the left-hand side, the commodities index for Grupo Nutresa. This index has a similar level as the previous year, where we had increases in some raw materials, for example, protein, beef and chicken, cocoa and wheat, and we see some changes in the reference international prices in sugar and oils. In the pie chart that you see on the right-hand side, we also see some raw materials in which the local price has, like in coffee, which you see this 10.5% as a cost composition. Actually, outside of the country, we had more price decreases. In Colombia, we had a slight decrease, but not that size. And we insist that as we used to speak about the importance of diversification of geographies, the explanation is that the diversification in commodities is also very important. In each one of those materials, we have coverage strategies, physical inventories when necessary, and of supplies to try to make use of the positive conditions to mitigate any risks that might come from managing these commodities. To go on with the profitability, I'll give the floor to Jose Domingo Penagos, who will talk about the EBITDA and the rest of the financial information. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. Very good morning to all of you. To speak then about the profitability specifically of the EBITDA by division, please go to slide number 8. Here we show the EBITDA, which in this period was 273 million pesos, Colombian pesos, with an increase of 3.3% in the mid range, and with the growth which very much aligned with the growth we had in revenue. In this case, 3.3%. First of all, and before going by division, I have a solid block that we have in divisions with good margins, higher even in some cases than the goal range, and some very good growth. Here I speak to the block, which is biscuit, chocolates, and TM Look. As you can see, the first two cases, biscuits and chocolates, the EBITDA margins in biscuits in the higher part of the range, and chocolates is very much above. Very good growth, double-digit high double digits. Very good performance in these two businesses. This is due to structural changes we've spoken about before. In the case of chocolate here, we leverage a scheme of hedging or coverages that we've developed for the commodities, because these commodities are under some pressure at the, in the spot markets. We've also wanted to point out in the ice cream growth, you see how those revenues have increased significantly, and that is reflected in profitability, 42%, as you can see in the graph. Let me speak about the each of division, and I will speak some topics about cost mainly. Cold cuts is still under pressure in cost because of the raw materials, protein specifically, and although the decrease, 2.2%, we see that it's within the range with 12%. It has a commercial improvement, and that is leveraged by growing that EBITDA. In biscuits, I already mentioned earlier, what I would like to point out is the balance. This is a very good balance business, not only geographically, but also in the raw materials. We have very good coverage in wheat and in commercial performance. We have by geography specifically, very good performance in Colombia and in Central America, which improve the EBITDA margin. So this is a very well-balanced business with good composition. Chocolates, also I already spoke about. If you look at the price on the spot market of the cocoa, you see that it's very high. We, foreseeing possible movements of the commodity since last year, we established, as we always do, a somewhat more stronger attitude in coverage in this commodity, and we have that advantage. We are using it right now, and that's why we can have the results that you see here. TM look, we have a good margin, 3.6%, growth of 8.1%, a good performance in profitability both in Chile and in Mexico. Remember that those are the two major operations. We have some international topics that we've been TM look, but their main interests are in these two geographies. They have very good behavior in revenue. We have some categories which is good profitability both in Chile and in Mexico. We also have here good performance in the boundaries that we have set up earlier. Now these innovations are going to start producing results. Coffee, you mentioned earlier, some effects, especially in exports. And some of you might ask why the difference between international price, which is obviously going down, and the cost that we have in coffee. The cost pressure is of local raw material. We have different types of raw materials, such as the Excelsis or the components, and we have had significant price pressures in Colombia, and that is reflected immediately in the cost, because the international price, the customers demand that our sales prices are closer to the indexes international. So we have a significant decrease in coffee, 35% compared to the same period the previous year. Consumer food, retail foods, we have 11.9%, decreased 3.6%. And we have this is the quarter. We didn't show it by month. An improving trend. We have results from the last months and weeks. We have protected transactions. We continue to protect transactions. We see an improving trend, but we have seen the entire quarter here, and that will affect the profits in each business unit in the future. And the situation is very highly controlled in the country. This is key to handle the prices in this division, with which we will continue to handle very carefully. In ice cream, very good business performance. Revenue grows well. And also EBITDA. And in pasta, although they are decreasing 6%, we have the went up in the range. We had better business performance, and it is also very highly controlled from the point of view of coverage. We have very good, and during the year, we'll continue this trend. That with respect to the EBITDA. Now let's go to slide number 9, where we show you the profit and loss. Highlight, as we said earlier, the revenue is $2.1 billion, growing at 3.1. We continue with good performance in terms of costs. But you can see here how the cost increase were half of what revenue cost, and that gives us good results from the gross margin point of view. There's an expansion of 80 base points with good coverage levels, and we think that that is a capability that is giving us an advantage this year. We're returning the volumes, and by returning volumes, it's important we reduce fixed costs for the plants, and therefore we have this increase in gross margin. Let's go to in the middle part. We have very good control of administration and production costs, and we also see an increase in sales expenses, 7.9%. Obviously, they grew above the revenue, and we knew that. We have also analyzed and knew. We've seen that in the reports, what we've talked in the last several days. I would remind you the effects that we have in sales expenses. First, we are investing in the market. There is a recovery of volume. The volume is coming, and we think that this is a result of our investment, sustained investment in the market. So through innovations, we also mentioned the percentage of everything, how important the innovations are. But those require investment. We have some new channels for some divisions, such as ice cream and consumer and retail foods, have more sales expenses, and that also has effects on the math. And we invested in the market as long as we believe that the entire equation will reflect it. And we did a bit in the cash flow. This is taking place, but we're selling more. We're having more increases in sales expenses than revenue. But in general, the results are being achieved. So this is the most relevant effect in the P&L. Small differences in the operating expenses and other operating revenue, especially because of some sales that are fixed assets classified as operational. But this is very concentrated. And our investment in fixed assets, we see that it's, where we think it's worthwhile to divest, we have done it. We have 2,109 million Colombian pesos. But the most important thing in the middle line is the EBITDA that I mentioned, with a margin of 13%. In post-op expenses, we only have efficiencies from the point of view of financial expenses. This decrease due to two reasons. One is the decrease in the debt and the decrease in the rate of interest. And financial expenses decreased by 13% approximately. That decrease is due to a mix between the debt level and most 80% because less than 20% because of the debt level, and 80% is due to the decrease in the rates. The rates keep going down, and our debt structure, you all know, it's very variable and allows us to leverage those decreases right now. We also have an effect on the lower part of the P&L because of the not accounting of the investments of the portfolio. This is something that matter of registrations and causes. These were caused and decreed in April. Last year we had them in March, the dividend, and that's why we have a decrease in the item for dividends and the portfolio. We also have some effects for investments in associated companies. We have the method, participation method. So most of those businesses are in their expansion stages, and business like Bimbo, DKM, and in Malaysia, all come in Malaysia. Estudiantina, which is the associated with Starbucks in Colombia. These investments are in their expansion stages, and that's why we see the effects on the dividends. So we have a profit of 120,000 million pesos, which is 13.1% less than the previous year. But as we said, the effect of these dividends is important. The non-recording the dividends is approximately 26,000 million pesos, and the pro forma, if we do the adjustments, is a growth of 5.7% in net profits for this P&L. And lastly, in slide number 10, we have the situation of the debt. We have the indicator here is 2.64 times. I said earlier in previous conferences, this is the cycles of, you know, of the cash flow. Here's more intensive in work capital, working capital, and taxes. And this is higher than we had in the end of 2017, but less than what we had expected for this, for the first quarter. It doesn't affect our goal at all. And we see that the indicator is a range of 2.3 to 2.5 times. The average rate, as I said, how it's close to 13% decrease in financial expenses. Now it's less than 6%, 7% for the entire group, 693 of the rate of in debt level. Most of this is for the medium term loans, and this is a result of the variable debt structure. And lastly, the CapEx. We committed 263,000 million pesos of CapEx for this year. It's still the same figure, and that also has a seasonality, rather. And this first quarter is not very CapEx intensive. I don't know, 23,000 million pesos invested, but only it doesn't change our goal. The goal is basically the same, and the seasonality has stronger investments during the second semester. The composition of the investment is almost 80% in Colombia and 20% overseas, and we're investing to expand some business lines to improve productivity in our production lines. We're making significant investments in retail foods, in remodelings, in opening stores, and this is where these resources are being use these CapEx resources for 2018. This is the end of the profitability and debt section, and now Carlos Ignacio will share with us his vision and perspectives for 2018, so I'll give the floor to him again. Thank you, Jose Domingo. So, to start this topic of the outlook, first, in Colombia, we foresee with respect to the macroeconomy a controlled inflation within the ranges, and that the central bank affects a rate of exchange that will probably will be around 2,800, 2,900, with some volatility, but not more than that, perhaps a little below what we had thought at the end of the previous year. And we still see better dynamics in the consumption, including improved volumes. So we foresee that the commercial part in Colombia, we're going to have a good year, and the commercial outlook for Colombia is positive. Outside of Colombia and in the geographies where we operate, the second geography in Central America, there is a prosperous business environment. There's some minor difficulties which are not focused in the largest countries, Chile. It has working very well. We have more confidence to develop businesses in Chile. And in the U.S., with the position that we have right now, we see, in general, good dynamics. Let's say that the coffee business has some challenges, and those will continue, I think, over the year, because we are subject to the price of raw material, but we see that this business has a long-term vision, and we will continue our customers and using the platforms we have in Chile and what we have in Malaysia, combining that with the capabilities we have inside of Colombia to face the challenge successfully. So in general, the vision for the year in terms of the business part is good, and I'd like to tell you the good news of getting our volumes back to positive levels. We're going to continue with innovation. This is a characteristic of this business. We're going to be very busy in health and nutrition business. This is one of the major challenges in our sector, and we're going to continue extending categories into different geographies. With respect to costs, the index has relative stability. As we, Jose Domingo was saying earlier, the strategy we have for coverage and combined with physical inventory and the access we do in different countries allows us to have relative stability throughout the year. And we are following very carefully the evolution of commodities like cocoa. And I think the analysis has to be complemented more in the middle and long term than in the next few years. But the natural coverage when some of those commodities go up and others go down partially protects the group. And we're going to continue working very strongly on that to manage that risk in an appropriate manner. So we foresee a good commercial year and some EBITDAs within the target range. We're going to become very active to improve our return, not only good performance or EBITDA, but rather get to improving our return on investment. This is a positive outlook for the year. Now the open floor to Catherine so we can go to the Q&A session. Thank you, Carlos Ignacio. We'll start the Q&A session. Let me remind you that we have the webcast chat option to receive your comments or concerns, and we will be reading them as verbatim. I will read a question through the webcast by Carlos Rodriguez from Multistatinco about the chocolate unit. When do you expect the current price levels for the spot price of coffee to begin affecting the profitability of this unit? Give the floor to Jose Domingo Penagos to help us with this answer. Carlos, thank you for your question. Specifically, state where a commodity is going to change, it's a little speculation. And in fact, this commodity has had a lot of volatility over the past 2 years. 2 years ago, a little bit more, it was also at 2,600, 2,700. Then last year, it went 2,100. Now it's again 2,800, 2,900. In the specific value of the commodity, we don't know in our coverage policy. And what I can tell you is that although we have very highly covered this year, the focus on commodities in cocoa is towards 2019. And we started to do coverage for that period. So we don't see any reasons for it. Cocoa at 2,900, 2,800, the type of the availability of this commodity in Africa and Cote d'Ivoire, it's very solid, but it's a commodity where we have involved with some speculators, and that's where we see the effect in price. So the specific question is that for coverage for 2019, so that independent of the price, we can protect our budget for this business unit. Thank you, Jose Domingo. We have no more questions through the webcast and chat, so we go to the questions through the audio conference. Thank you for attention. Now we'll start our Q&A. If you have any questions, please push star and then number in your phone. If you're speaking, if you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before you push the buttons. If you have any questions, push star and then one in your phone. Maria del Este, the first question. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your call. I have a couple of questions about costs. The first is that, as you were saying, we have had a quarter in which we see increased volumes and a lower increase in price. I'd like to understand what you expect for this year in terms of prices, whether these increases we've seen over the past quarters are going to continue, or whether this levels can go down again. Is that for the price increases? The other thing is to understand a little better, until when can we sustain these decreases in financial expenses? Obviously, within the current context, you would expect them to continue second half of 2018, but when do you see that happening? The third question is, can you explain what's behind the increase in the depreciations that we saw during this quarter? And finally, in terms of strategy, what are you expecting, or how are you trying to focus this goal in sales expenses for this year? Could you go a little bit more about the sales expenses? Thank you, Maria. I'll take the questions that have to do with price and sales expenses, and Jose Domingo later will talk about the financial expenses and depreciation. So first, with respect to price, what we've seen, and I'm going to answer with respect to Colombia first and then to the international. What we've seen in the Colombian market over the past 2 years is the sensitivity to price has been exacerbated a bit. And when you lower your prices here, we have to say that every reference in each channel and each geography has some different models that are calibrated according to the current situation. We have that done, already completed. What we've seen, all of the elasticity is different for each combination, what we've seen is that when you lower prices, and your sales do not usually have a major increase. On the contrary, when you raise them in the short term, there could be some effect on the volumes. We have been working very seriously in productivity because the profitability comes through many areas. For price is one of the variables in marketing, but it is not the only one. It doesn't mean that we will never again touch prices, but in general, we are focused on, in the short term, most of the improved profitability will come from improving productivity. Secondly, as a result of that, so we don't see that there will be price increases, any significant price increases. We will do it, but very carefully about the effect on volume, because you can have a better price per unit, but you sell less, fewer units, and then the effect will be canceled out. Outside of Colombia, the competition dynamics are different in each geography. There's a similar analysis, and it depends a lot on how the dynamics is, right, and the competencies or capabilities of each competitor. Our strength in innovation is that every time you put something new in the market, you enjoy for a time an advantage vis-a-vis the competitors. And when you develop this leverage consistently, we have new sources of value. So we don't foresee that our growth and profitability will depend only on price. We'll be very careful and we'll play that variable the best way to fit it into the business. In the case of sales expenses, very good question. Definitely that is a bet on the market, aware, and it is part of our strategy. And to try to defend positions, that will be very, very key when as volumes grow again. We have to say that besides that proposal, we have also some changes in the channel mix, and there are channels that have different sales expense structures. Retail foods and ice cream grew more than the other businesses during the first quarter. Ice cream needs a different type of distribution than dry product distribution, and restaurants also have different sales expenses. Well, the same thing happens with alternative channels, with serving machines, catalog sales, for example. So, in the first place, there is a bet on the market. The second place, we have a change in the channel mix. If you sell more in some channels that are a little more expensive, that expense increases. And I like to point out that innovations must be supported. So 21.3% of these innovations mean that behind that that innovation is an investment in the market, so that they can get to know them, they try them, and we can gain the consumer preference or the buyer's preference and the clients. These three reasons should mean that sales expenses do not have to improve their productivity. That is why, as we have this commercial battle, on the other hand, through our global supply program, we call it Atlas internally, using advanced pricing methods with the calculation of the ROI for improvement, for marketing and improvement. And we are working for those sales expenses to be made as necessary, but would be as efficient as possible day after day. That covers my response to prices and price and sales expenses. And now I'll give you the floor, José Domingo, to speak about the other two topics. About the financial expenses, you have two things, two components. One is the cost, and the other one is the debt over the cost. And we believe it had low value for the year. Inflation is controlled. The central bank has been decreasing the rates. We don't see any major decreases by the bank in the next few months. We were pleasantly surprised by the last decrease. We capitalized it, but as long as inflation is controlled, that could be the cost level vis-a-vis the financial expense of the group. And about the volume of sales, it's still the same commitment to the exchange. We have the same commitment. As we generate cash flow, we use it. And this is going to be more to towards the second semester. We'll have less debt and less financial expenses. It's not the same thing as we've had the last three quarters, not at the same rate, but it will continue to decrease. And with respect to these depreciations, we have to, for accounting purposes, we have to reflect some depreciations with respect to franchises according to their useful lives or the contract lives. And we have in retail food, we had some depreciations because of the period of those contracts, and that's why we see a greater depreciation. This is probably the effect that you're seeing in that item on the P&L. Let's continue with the rest of the questions. Andres Soto from Santander. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation and your chance to ask questions. The question is about your consumer environment in Colombia. You see an increase, including the effect of the Easter. Do you think that the 5% is consistent with what you've seen up to April? And these are the categories that you have more indulgent, the ones that have good behavior. Is that due to a base effect, or just are these the categories in which you are seeing higher consumption in the country? Thank you, Andres, for your question. You know this company very well, and I'd like to start by saying that this 5.2% that we mentioned is the average of the increase in sales per working day. This question I can use it to Easter doesn't have the same effect on the same on all categories, and in the restaurant businesses, Easter doesn't add, but rather doesn't decrease, but rather add. And in ice creams, the result of the ice cream was the consequence of the mix of three factors. First, Easter also adds, but we had two weekends, one from elections with a lot of sun in Colombia, and it's part of the weather. So all categories grew, but in the two that I mentioned, in addition to the growth for, per business day, there's some positive effect from Easter. And in the other categories, the effect is totally the opposite. What is going to happen, we do see that there is a change in the consumer trend, but in the next quarter, it will be different, and figures will be normalized by not having the effect of Easter. It doesn't mean that the only categories that grew are ice creams and retail food. They all grow, but these two have additioned the drive of a more favorable season, and that's why this took place. So what we believe is that to the extent that we see those full figures, the growths are going to be balancing out, and some that we currently see as moderate will be finally much better. But as we've said, this improvement was not a specific improvement, rather. Thank you very much. My second question has to do with the competitive environment in Colombia. Do you think that consumers have become more sensitive to prices in terms of profitability? Is the profitability doesn't improve because the significant improvement that you had this quarter in terms of gross margin was diluted by having higher sales expenses? I'd like to understand a bit, what are the categories where you are seeing or are being more aggressive? Because we see categories where you're losing market share, and whether that competitive dynamics is come from traditional competitors, or is that the effect of hard discounters that have grown significantly in Colombia? Thank you, Andres. First, we believe that the competition is good, and the main beneficiary is the consumer. We also believe that competition in and out of Colombia exposes to the capacities of others, and we are forced to improve, and we like competition. The hardest count is, we mentioned, I think, in the last couple of conferences, has been gaining space. There are different nuances in that. Some have more brands than others, and we are suppliers with our countries for all hard discount players in Colombia. Some more than others, where we see them respectfully and in principle, and I mentioned it yesterday, we do not manufacture in where we have position brands of our own. We do not manufacture private brands or white brands. And these have been physically leveraged. The first three categories are not categories in which Grupo Nutres is strong. They have some of ours, and we try to be the best suppliers for all channels. And to the extent that we can have, we'll try to have the best offer value proposition. We see them with respect. They've earned the space, but when you look at the channel mix, 53% of our sales come from small sales in every region. 23% comes from major chains. Close to 8% comes from restaurants, 7% in alternative channels. And speaking of memory, I think it's 5% of the cases is institutional sales. So we have channels to work on. And what we have to do is to understand the channels very well and understand the buyer and prepare internally to serve them the best way possible. So there is a shuffling of channels. Which is not the same in all countries. About the categories, you were saying some of those where we have lost a little bit of share, more than 70% share in a business like the cold cuts is very powerful. Each of those categories with which we work has competitors that you have to look at carefully. The fact that they are small or large doesn't detract anything. We have to learn from them respectfully and humility. The answer is, how do we leverage our competitiveness? In the previous questions, you were telling us about the cost of commodities when those prices change. Sometimes the commodities hit us hard, but sometimes some competitors have more spot strategies for supplies, and they might be hit before players like the Tesla who have a more risk management strategy. So, in every category, we have competitors. We're not, we don't have a monopoly in any of them, although we work to get, you know, they ask me, what market share do I want? We would all like to have 100% in those categories, but the competition helps us get the balance. And even if you sacrifice some points in some geography, which you invest and gain them in others, and the total gain is what really Nutresa is after. I'd like to make a comment that I think is important, is that the numbers that we disclose are Nielsen figures, and the Nielsen figures do not include sales from several channels. They don't, not the hard discounts or the vending machines or catalog sales or some digital sales. So what we have some important information for a general majority of the market, we have to move all the variables. As far as profitability, we believe that the margin achieved is good. The return on investment is still at levels similar to the last quarters. And it's good because this is a quarter that has less seasonality compared to the rest of the year. Then we have the months of greatest volumes, and we expect to continue working to go after the goals that we want. So aggressiveness continues, and that aggressiveness is what we have in Tesla. We have spoken about the risk profile. We said that we are very moderate in the financial issues. We are very orthodox in that respect, very aggressive commercially, and we don't want any reputational risk. So, and thanks for your second question, too. Very full, very complete answer. Sergio Maresmo from Citigroup. Good morning, Carlos Ignacio Gusto Domingo and Catherine. My question is about your expectations for the EBITDA margin in 2018. How much leverage could we expect this year with the recovery of volume in Colombia and the reduction in fixed costs? Thank you. Thank you, Sergio, for your question. You know that we do not give any specific data to the EBITDA at the end of the period, but this is the outlook. You can deduce something from that. I was saying that we see an improvement, a commercial improvement, and that we don't see any decrease in costs. So we're expecting an EBITDA in the Grupo Nutresa's range, and we think, and we're expecting better figures than last year. Thank you, Sergio. Next question, Federico Perez, Bancolombia. Thank you for your presentation. I think that the questions I had have been answered through others. Just wanted to ask base about on what Andres said about market share. We see that the volumes in Colombia are increasing, and you're expecting during the rest of the year to continue in that trend. You gave us a lot of idea about the competition that is also growing. I just wanted to ask you, at the end of the year, do you have any specific goal in market share or anything that you would like to end with? And this is very much alignment with the strategy to increase or to recover volumes. After you recover those volumes, what will you focus on? Perhaps on profitability or recover market share? Yes, thank you. Let's take the two questions. My second question is in coffee. I was going to ask you, first of all, about the international sales. We have decreased some consumers' purchases in the U.S. What outlook do you have for those sales, international sales in the year, and about the cost of local raw materials? What strategies are you implementing to mitigate the impact, some big impact that we're having raw material cost in terms of coffee? Thank you, Federico. The first thing that I'd like to tell you is that market share by itself is not a main objective. Market share is a consequence of a full group of combined efforts, brand power, your ability to convert that brand health into sales, because sometimes you have very valuable brands, but you don't have the reach to the market. But this is a consequence of the power of your value proposition and compare that to all the other competitors. We see that this as a full package. And that's why we don't give guidance. But we see that, and we consider that indicator and the signals that shows. I mentioned in some conferences last year, also very, very good job of brand consolidation and the brands that we have in the regions where we act. We speak about those preferences among the consumers, but point one more or less is not the group objective. In general, we're interested in categories where we're leading. We want the category to grow because you have a part of a cake, which is a category. If that category grows, helps it grow, even sacrificing a bit of a share, you have a bigger business. In the categories where we are leaders, we want the category to grow. In the categories where we are not leaders, we are interested in getting closer to the leaders and gain more share in that pie. We have the responsibility of making those categories become more valuable and grow, and that's what we're working for. We try to do good marketing and try to have the best solutions for the clients, buyers, and purchasers. This is our vision of the market share. With respect to coffee, when you speak about coffee, it refers to, you know, like one thing, but there's a lot of planning in coffee. We have the Excelso types and other varieties of coffee. And what's happened in the short term and over the past year, to give you an example, while in the world coffee went down 21% on average, it went down 7%. this has to do with local conditions. And what are we doing? We're using the platforms that we have overseas. In Malaysia and Chile, we're working also on a long-term vision, taking care of our customers. We have been in this business for many years, and that we think we're going to continue. It's a very positive and interesting business in many ways. We have some competitors, some are world leaders or other regional leaders, but we see that the subject of vision, and while we supply, we try to do the best possible. There are other sources of productivity. You can all the plans that I've mentioned for efficiency and productivity are applicable to the variables where you affect the raw materials. And what we're going to try to do is manage the risks and leverage that category. The advantage of having a portfolio of categories is like when we saw chocolates a few years ago in a weaker position. Coffee was extremely profitable. Now we are in the game. So you can temporarily rely on the health of other categories to support the situation of coffee. And we are healthy enough when we have enough leverage in the region. Thank you. At the income corridors. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions only. The rest have been answered. The first question is whether can you tell me what percentage of the CapEx that you mentioned is being assigned to retail foods, where you thought or you said that you were going to be making investments, significant investments this year as well. And the second question is if you are continuing to evaluate opportunities for inorganic growth and whether you have business lines and in what business, what countries are you focusing that evaluation? Thank you, Catherine. The CapEx, we've seen, we don't see any guidance in detail because we don't want to send any signals that the competition might use. What I can tell you is that within those 263,000 million pesos that we're going to be investing in CapEx this year, we have included the opening of 50 stores in retail foods, all retail foods, wherever we act. But we will not give you a percentage of how much that represents, but that's what we expect to do there. This is a business that has been growing well. And in addition, we're doing investment in improving the remodeling of the existing stores, and that's very important. And it has an effect on the brand and on the sales. And we close the stores that are not viable, those closing and opening the stores as part of the business. With respect to the inorganic growth, of course, we're going to be working with the inorganic in two areas. And I would say, although we are looking for mid-size and large companies where we can do some acquisition that will help the business grow, we're also looking at small companies that we can accelerate using them in all our distribution force. So these acquisitions are being searched in whatever country you go, always following the regulations about free competition in each country with the authorities in each country that deal with that. And we want to have acquisitions that add new capabilities to Grupo Nutresa and that you can leverage them when they're working with us. And we're also interested in the profile of companies that have to do with health and nutrition in an area where all entrepreneurs of the food sector are emphasizing in the future. So this is in a summary what I could say about the strategy that we have for growth, for inorganic growth. Thank you. Rodrigo Torres from Valora. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your teleconference. I had several questions, but they've been answered throughout this Q&A. But I'd like to place a little more emphasis on how much do you expect the consumption in Colombia to increase, and how, whether it's going to be maintaining that the growth in the year. Thank you, Rodrigo, for being with us in this teleconference. First of all, the 5%, 5.2 that you mentioned, it was the growth of sales vis-a-vis the first quarter, which is a figure that I mentioned. You know, to give you an idea of what it means to have a first quarter with Easter included, and the fact that it wasn't included last year. But consumer figures in Colombia, it's very difficult to forecast. We say that there are two different types of interest. One of them is done by the company which is in the radio, which is another one is the Fedesarrollo that we have to have with the propension, with the propensity to spend it. This is a topic of where my location is. What I can tell you is that in the case of that, at the end of the year, mentioned that they had a change and they went to positive, and they've been mentioning different numbers for growth, but always within the positive side. In Fedesarrollo, you've been recovering. That indicator was still negative, but already close to zero. I wouldn't venture to give you a number because consumption reaches categories that are not intrinsic. Consumer, we have the entire consumption, and there are dynamics in which we don't have that deep knowledge. But what we can see, it was growth greater than inflation during per working day. And as we mentioned earlier, we went to invest in the market to have better behavior in these categories, better than last year. But we cannot do a prognosis of the total consumption. I think there are two experts that can give you independent figures in any of the ways, the expectations, or what happens really. We are still recovering, especially since the second quarter last year. And with respect to the geographies, that set of geographies that nutrition has is very important. When we speak, when they ask us what category do we prefer, I always make the analogy. Since when a parent is asked, what is your favorite child? Everyone has a category, everybody has a reason for the same thing for Grupo Nutrisa. You were mentioning that innovation and category extension are very important leverages for our growth. But actually, we're not going to abandon any geography. In Colombia, we have the effect of taking advantage of this change in consumer trends and capitalize it and turn it into sales and better results. But we're still doing very well in Central America. And there's a recovery of trust in Chile. And in these two areas, we have a lot of energy and projects applied to these. And in Mexico, we've been growing at double digits as a geography. So I think this is really three very important geographies. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that we're going to pay less attention to the others. Thank you, Ruth. Daniel Urte from PPG. Good morning, everyone. Question about growth and profitability for 2020. Look at the growth in sales. Gold means annualized growth for 10%. What are you intending to do for that goal, and what category do you think will reach? And with want to profitability of the 13% work, do you think there's more room to achieve that? Thank you, Daniel, for being with us and for your questions. First of all, about the growth that we have for 2020, we have intended to double that between 2013 and 2020. It is true that the last couple of years in Colombia has driven our goal a little bit further. But we've had achieved as 7% approximately. So we need to grow at 10.7 to reach our goal. It's not that far. Besides, when we continue with the innovation that I mentioned earlier, and we say that that goal includes inorganic growth, we see that with a good balance between organic and inorganic, we're going to achieve our goals. I want to be very frank that we're not going to manage anything that is not good for Grupo Nutres and the shareholders. We're not going to be making an acquisition just to achieve numbers. No. We believe that if it's it can be done, it's challenging. That's the idea of the big hairy goals, but we're not going to be making any acquisitions that is not the most appropriate for the group. What else is there to work a lot of on the inorganic, especially for innovation? It's very good to mention the targets. As I said, we have medium and size large companies that we can buy and improve, and small companies that we can accelerate. We had the category extension, I've forgotten about that. It's a very important aspect. So, and commercially, I agree with you, it's very challenging, but that's what big hairy goals are for, and we're going to be very responsible in achieving those. With respect to the profits, our challenge there was to putting ourselves in this EBITDA between 12 and 14%. So profitability is improving over the past year. This past year was better than the previous year, and we're doing our homework for this year. That's with respect to the EBITDA, and we had spoken about this in the previous results conference. We have an internal full program for improving the return ROID, and they have different leverages. We're working very diligently on those leverages, and the goal whose goal is to get to 13% of ROID, but the flying goal, the moving goal, which is very, very soon, we can get to higher ROID. With all of these importance of the acquisitions in terms of value generation, we're very close to achieving that. I will not go into the details, but this we are willing and working everywhere, improving working capital, learning to work with third-party assets, everything that has to do with efficiency and productivity in every area, including marketing, disciplined capital assignment, CapEx, because you see that we are doing businesses with high levels of innovation. CapEx is all half the average of the last 5 years. So it's an entire plan to improve our rate of return on capital, but this without sacrificing the growth, which is so important. Thank you, Daniel. One answer, perhaps in categories. What categories we're going to be doing that? Well, about the categories, I was saying that the opportunities are different in each geography. Where we see the greatest potential has everything had to do with health and nutrition. And all the categories that can improve the convenient, making people's lives easier, and improving the environmental and social situation of the geographies where we operate. That's where we see the most potential from them. We have been working a lot, and others we're just making our initial steps. Any additional questions? No further questions. Catherine, for the final comments. Thank you very much to everyone for participating in this conference, and we thank you especially for your questions that help us clarify to those who are connected. So this is the end of the conference for results for the first quarter 2018, and we would like to remind you that our contact line with Investor Relations is always open for you for more details. Thank you very much, and have a great week. Thank you.